ladies and gentlemen, and fellow golfers, for your entertainment.
It's the Golf to Go Hour with Frank LaRosa, brought to you by the Hagen Oaks Golf Super Shop, America's most awarded golf facility. Naturewood Home Furnishings, where it's all about choices and always about quality.
Thank you for listening. Welcome in. This is the Golf to Go Radio Hour. This is Sactown Sports 1140. My name is Frank LaRosa, along with Scott Marsh. We host this show every week, and it's an hour of talking about golf. The notion of talking about golf, I suppose, would drive some people nuts when they want to be out in a driving range on a golf course or anywhere else rather than talk about it. But Scott, we get excited talking about it as well.
You know what? I love, this is my favorite hour of the week. I love talking golf. Certainly, I'd rather be playing, but if I can't be playing, why not talk about it?
For all the things you've got going in your schedule, to pick this hour of the week as your favorite, that's quite a bonus here. You know, I don't know how you manage your schedule, Scott. I think the fact that that luckily you're single you know, gives you the freedom to be able to do that, because boy, you keep going all the time. I mean, your social media is always there. You're three different places every day.
Well, manage might be an overstatement. It might just be chaos on wheels, but you know, you just find a way to make it work, right? As best you can. And with the Kings playing like they are right now, you know, it's just an exciting time. So
pretty exciting game, them beating the Warriors. And yeah, you know, by the time this re-airs on Saturday, we won't know what will happen on Friday night, but certainly the way they played last night, they look like world beaters.
Yeah, to get the redemption against the Warriors, certainly very exciting. And Steph Curry, we didn't have to see him do night-night, and we didn't have to watch him hit an eagle putt to win up at Edgewood or anything like that. The Kings got a little vindication.
They sure did. Just finished the Masters, obviously, and having been there yourself, what was going through your mind? I know you wanted to be there again this year.
Yeah.
You know, but for the, you know, a few issues, you probably would have been, but you weren't. And how did you look at it this year, you know, having not been able to go back this year?
Yeah, well, first of all, you and I are going to take a trip back there one of these years, because you need to go. It is truly the cathedral for golf. You know, but just watching it, you can appreciate, like anything else, when you've been there, you can actually appreciate some of the shots, some of the angles, some of the slopes. You just have a totally different vantage point than just seeing it on TV. And it's such a cliche at this point, but everybody talks about the undulations of that course. It's true, but until you experience it, I don't think you really understand what that means. It's by far the most undulated course on the PGA Tour. Maybe Kapalua out in Hawaii Plantation course is certainly very hilly as well, but the Masters is right up there with that. So you appreciate that, and you just, you know, you see the beauty and the color, and you can know what that's like because you experienced it in real person, what that looks like. So it's always fun, and I think it's just a little bit more fun now to watch that tournament having been there.
You know, I have to say that, you know, you having mentioned the undulations a number of times to me now, I tried to watch the pictures a little more closely. And, you know, what appeared to be just a fairway, I mean, I was looking at it pretty closely in terms of the height and, yep. You know, from the middle of the fairway down to a green, and got kind of a little closer perspective, I suppose, as to what you're talking about. I suppose you never can until you actually walk it yourself. But yeah, I began to see, you know, some of the reasons that, you know, that we could have some issues there.
No question. And the concept of an even lie shot is non-existent at Augusta National Golf Club. I mean, on the tee, that is it. Because every shot based on your right-handed, I'm left-handed, you're either hitting a hook draw or you've got a fade approach. And I mean, the slope just from your setup to your golf ball is significant on a lot of holes.
There was a little piece on one of the golf newsletters I followed the other day, and they were asking the PGA professionals, what would a 15 handicap shoot there?
Mm-hmm.
And nobody said that it'd be less than 100.
Yeah.
And when you begin to think about the scores you shoot, you know, at somewhat level flat courses that you know that you've played and have some knowledge and appreciation for, you think about playing that course. I don't think it would matter which tees you play it from. I mean, there's so much trouble, and as you say, never a flat lie. And yeah, that's a disaster waiting to happen.
No question. We know that greens are like putting on glass with their slope and their speed. But the other thing that's really so fascinating about that course, there's only two sets of tees. There's the professional tees and the membership tees. So the pro tees play just over 7,500 now. The membership tees are 6,200. You don't have any other option. There's no blue tees, there's no white tees, there's no red tees. You are playing the member tees because unless you are in the Masters, you don't even have the option of playing the professional tees there.
You know, what just occurred to me when you said that, they've certainly granted membership to a number of women at this point, but I suppose when the course was set up, it was set up only for men. I wonder if there will be a third tee at some point.
Be interesting. Yeah, it's
6,200
6,200.
is pretty healthy for most women. Annika Sörenstam certainly isn't going to have a problem with it, the newest member. But there are others that might be a little long for. So
No doubt.
who knows? The Augusta National makes some changes now and then.
No doubt. Here's the ultimate, Frank. When we go back, we're going to put our names in the lottery. We're going to get our media passes somehow, some way. Because on the Monday following every tournament, they have a lottery for the media. And if you're picked, you get to play the Masters on Monday after the tournament's over.
With pin positions where the tournament was. I can't
Yep.
think of a better way
That
to
would be
ruin my ego.
the ultimate bucket list of all time.
Absolutely, it would. What did you think of this year's tournament? Scottie Scheffler certainly seems like a world beater, doesn't he?
He's amazing. I mean, honestly, he is in the similar groove to where Tiger Woods was back in the early 2000s. That's how good he's playing. If you break down his game and his numbers right now, the only thing that really compares is when Tiger was at the top of his game in the early 2000s. He's a wonderful story. He's a class gentleman, all of those things. And I think it's absolutely great. I do worry a little bit, and of course, sports in general, it's tough with everything being so broken out right now. But if you look at the ratings for the Masters, they were down 20% this year on the final round. And, so for those of us who love the game, we watch it, we see the brilliance of Scottie Scheffler. That's great. I am a little bit concerned because still prior to the tournament, the number one story is still Tiger Woods. And as much as we all love Tiger, I think at some point we have to accept that the Tiger Woods era is over. When he won in 2019, he was still playing great golf. He had won at the FedEx the year before. He was playing regularly. But now for golf to be holding on to that storyline, I think is a little concerning. And I think obviously the drift between LIV and the PGA is hurting at the highest level too.
No question. That's very well said. And there will be people that, will go kicking and screaming before they're going to let Tiger go. But it's a great point that Scottie Scheffler is has the same game that Tiger did. But Tiger had that publicity machine behind him.
Tiger was the ultimate, right? For
He
so
knew
many
him from
reasons.
yeah from when he was 3 years old on the Mike Douglas show, and so all of this was built to the point that this kid is unbeatable, and the red shirts and all of that stuff. And Scottie Scheffler just seems to be, very happy, just playing his game. I mean, if my wife is going into labor, I'm leaving, no matter if it's a Sunday of Masters. And that's pretty impressive.
Definitely is. I guess, from a marketing standpoint, they got to kind of think about how they do this at the next level. And with the rift going on right now, that's probably really challenging.
Yeah, exactly. And I think, maybe even Jon Rahm, it could be one of the cards that that kind of leads to some sort of conclusion, whether it's a settlement or whether it's a split or completely, or I don't know. But you're absolutely right. It's not doing anything good for the game. And these guys on the LIV Tour are playing, in front of nobody, with no television audiences, and with very little competition, and they're getting paid handsomely, as they should. And a couple of them have stepped up and said, I did it for the money. And
Sure.
it's pretty hard to blame anybody for doing that when you've got a family and bills to pay and that seems the way to go. I can understand that. So, at some point here, something has to give, I guess.
Yeah, but it's interesting because Scheffler is a generational player, but his demeanor probably doesn't have media star written on him. So, Rory always seems to kind of have that firepower, but he just hasn't been able to break through at the Masters. So it'll be interesting to see who becomes that next. There will be never another Tiger Woods, but who will be kind of that next big name that captures people in the game of golf.
Absolutely. On the show today, Brandon Bowling, the PGA Director of Golf at Plumas Pines Golf Resort in Gray Eagle, will be with us. The Gray Eagle area is certainly one of my favorites in Northern California. You get up, to a kind of a different lifestyle. Life really slows down. I'm not sure whether the clocks actually go backwards up there, but it sure seems like it. Brandon, we'll be here to talk about the fact that the golf course is opening, or when this airs, probably will be open. And he's got a spring special up there, which is pretty inviting. And why not go play Gray Eagle?
It's such a great area. You talk about clocks being turned back. I mean, that is the Masters, right? I mean, with the way they treat it, tradition unlike any other, and no phones on the course, just the way they have things set up with pricing, and just you feel like you're 80 years back in history. And that's what makes that tournament so special. And, when you go up to Gray Eagle in that area, you are truly getting away. It's a great escape, and it's a great place to play golf.
Yeah, and so Brandon will be with us. Brandon he's been there 34 years, which is really
Yeah.
amazing. That's for anybody to be in a job for 34 years. But as he says, he's got the best view in the world as he looks out the window of the pro shop and sees the Sierra and his golf course, and life is good.
Life is very good.
Len Dumas, Executive Director and COO of the Northern California PGA, is with us. Len is a good friend and always brings us up to date on what's happening in golf in Northern California, especially on the professional side. And it'll be good to catch up with Len. He and I actually had a chance to play golf this week. Has been a while since we've done that, and that was kind of fun.
Yeah, playing out there at the Green Valley, that's a beautiful course as well. Always great to get out there. I know you had a great time and had a chance to catch up with all the things going on in Northern California golf and the PGA section.
Mark Sherman is the PGA head golf professional there, and he's just the greatest guy. Always has a smile on his face, a hand stretched out, and probably a joke or two for you. So it's always a good time there.
Yeah, that course always in great shape.
So we have a lot to offer you here on this edition of the Golf to Go Radio Hour, and stick around. Who knows? We might have something else pop up. We'll be back with more on this edition of the Golf to Go Radio Hour right after this.
It's the Golf to Go Hour with Frank LaRosa on Sactown Sports.
Thank you for listening. This is the Golf to Go Radio Hour at Sactown Sports 1140. I'm Frank LaRosa. My buddy Scott Marsh is here. And Scott, it's always fun to talk to Mr. Brandon Bowling, PGA Director of Golf at Plumas Pines Golf Resort, a friend of the show and friend of mine for a very long time. Brandon, it's every time I see you, this certainly is a compliment, but you are continue to remain healthy and young looking. And then every time you tell me you've been there 34 years, I mean, I know it, but I have trouble believing it. Welcome to the show, and keep doing what you're doing because it looks good on you.
Oh, she's free. I appreciate that, Scott. Gosh, pleasure being on the show. The mirror always tells the truth, though. I look in the mirror and I don't look the same. So the mirror never lies, right?
Our listeners can't see it,
All
but
right.
I think, Frank, what you meant was he was born on the golf course 34 years ago.
Well, he practically was. Didn't you grow up there, Brandon?
I did, yeah. Little town Loyalton, about 30 minutes away. This is where we, played all of our golf. It was, ever since I can remember, with my dad walking the golf course with me, who doesn't play, by the way. He just walked with me, carried my bag because he's amazing, and still is. But yeah, so lots of amazing memories, you know, just playing golf as a junior golfer or, you know, young golfer. And then obviously having the opportunity to work here was dream come true. As soon as I got my driver's license, I walked in the shop and said, you know, when do I start here? Where's the application? And that I was lucky enough to be hired, and it was, yeah, it was heaven. I mean, I was 7 days a week when I wasn't working, I was playing. And yeah, it was just, it's what I wanted to do ever since, you know, ever since I touched a golf club.
You know, you reminded me of a story you told me a long time ago that when you were as a young boy, when you were walking the golf course with your dad, didn't you turn to your dad and say, wouldn't this be great for me to work here someday?
Yeah, definitely. That, yep. I tell that story all the time. That was on the fourth fairway. We were walking the fourth fairway, type par five here for those that have played and here. And yeah, I just turned to him and, you know, the beautiful condos and the river and the, you know, the smell of the grass and, you know, birds chirping, the whole thing. And man, can you imagine what it must be like to not only work here, but to be a golf professional here? It's just, it would be incredible. And of course, fast forward now.
How long have you been a PGA professional, Brandon?
Yeah, I got my Class A in March of 2000. Okay. So 24 years now, Class A. Yeah, yeah. It's, again, dream come true there too.
It's pretty exciting time up there at Plumas Pines right now. August, or excuse me, April 19th is your opening day, and the snow's melted, the sun's out, and you guys are ready to go.
Yes, man, it's beautiful out too. The golf course is really, really healthy, lush and green from the moisture we got in March, especially big storms in March. And I always know it's ready, you know, coming to work, the smell of the fresh cut grass and the stripes on the fairways. And, you know, it's time. The course is going to be in great shape the day we open on Friday the 19th. So it's going to be great.
You got to be pretty much first to open up there. I mean, that's normally it's just a little bit later in the year. But as we talked earlier, you're seasonal, obviously. I mean, at some point the snows come and shut you down. But what's it like being, you know, basically a 6 or 7 month golf course?
Yeah, definitely. It's, you know, the winters are, you know, are chilly and quiet. We get snow. It's beautiful. But a lot of, you know, if you're a golfer, generally you'll go, you know, down south and play some more golf. But for us here, you know, ramping up, we go, you know, kind of from 0 to 100 in a week and a half's time. Ramp up all of our staff, get everything ready to go and fired up, get the golf shop, you know, all ready to go with all the latest and greatest merchandise. And that all kind of comes at once. And it happens in a hurry, in a blur, really. And then the doors are open and then we go, you know, we're 7 days a week rolling and, you know, food and beverage is going and it's fantastic. You know, we get four seasons here. So we get spring, you know, beautiful spring. We get a nice summer, but mild temperatures, you know, if it hits 90, it's shocking. And then a wonderful and incredible fall with fall colors and great temperatures and, you know, chilly nights and then of course winter. So it's really nice place to be because of the four seasons.
There probably is not a bad time of the year to visit up there. You know, I've told the story many times about finally getting to Gray Eagle a number of years back because I thought, gee, I've got so much around here. Why do I want to go up there? I fell in love with the area, the place, the pace, the restaurants, you know, the people that run the businesses. It's kind of like, you know, you run into some big family gathering. I mean, everybody knows everybody up there. So if you want to do something that you probably shouldn't do it there. it's just, you know, it's a really warm place to be.
Yeah, well said. You're right. It is like a giant family. You're right. Everybody knows everybody. And if you don't know somebody, you meet them pretty quickly. So we're lucky in that way, you know, you know, as far as golf goes, people, the entire community treats the golf course as if it was their own lawn. You know, they want it in their own business. They want it to be nice. They want it to succeed. They welcome visitors. You know, a lot of places, you know, you hear like, oh, you know, we don't want too many people. They love meeting new people and they being the entire town and the community. And that's what is special around here. You know, people are interested. You know, you show up and they don't recognize you. They'll say hello. They're curious about where you're from, and you know if you're staying and playing, and you know what you're doing. And if you if you don't know where should we eat, they'll tell you. They have suggestions. Where should we play? What should we do? So it's a really special community. It's kind of the, you know, what is it? You know, where everybody knows your name. Cheers. A little bit like that. Yeah, a little bit like that.
You got to be careful when you go up there, Scott. You know, you don't want to do that people talk about later.
Hey, I get that for sure. But as we know, Brandon, there's only one place to eat. Of course, it's the restaurant and bar that you guys have really revamped and put some money into. That place is awesome.
Yeah, I appreciate that. And man, a huge shout out. Our new owners as of last July, the Dahl family, man, they are just doing some incredible things here. Lots of upgrades and improvements. A new project that I can't even tell you about yet that I'm so excited about that's going to be happening here real soon. Everybody's going to want to check out. But yeah, Longboards Bar and Grill, those that have eaten there know how amazing it is, and they're making it, you know, even better. More improvements to the interior. We've got a wonderful food and beverage manager, Jason Owens. They hired a great chef, Chris, who's on board with us now, and I can smell it actually right now as I'm sitting here. He's cooking. It's kudos to the Dolls for and the list goes on. I mean, they have huge plans for this place, and you know, we're just trying to, you know, follow their lead. So big shout out to our owners, the Dahl family. They're fantastic.
No doubt. It truly is a resort atmosphere there. For people who haven't been up there yet, what would you identify or what would you say stands out about that region for the golf, in particular that course, for somebody who's in our general Sacramento area?
Yeah, definitely. Great question. So, you know, Plumas Pines in particular, for those who haven't played, I think what it brings different than the Valley, and I love, you know, Valley golf, is, you know, obviously mountains. You know, we're at about 5,000 feet here. So we've got huge pine trees, fir trees, you know, big mountains in the background that you know, are kind of the backdrop, the Feather River that runs right along the golf course. And then we're always in great shape because we, you know, moisture is in excess here. So the course is always lush and green. And every hole's different. You know, you don't play one hole and think, oh, that looks a lot like the one I just played. They're all different. And then in addition to us, there's four other golf courses, you know, in this little community. I mean, the town's only 700 people, Gray Eagle itself. And there's five golf courses in the area. So people come up, you know, it's golf heaven, you know, just in addition to what we do here with Plumas and Longboard. So it provides a huge variety. And it's, you know, you unplug as you, you know, Frank, as you know, there's no traffic, you know, we don't have a stoplight in the town. The nearest stoplight's 12 miles away. and so, I mean, it, you know, and finding tee times is available, you know, there's times available. I know in a lot of the bigger cities, it's with golf exploding since COVID, tee times have been harder to get. And, that's still not the case here because, you know, we're destination, so you can get tee times, you can get those good morning tee times, or, you know, the times you're looking for that you may not be able to get in the bigger areas. So it's really golf heaven.
You know, it's still close enough to Sacramento. You can come up for the day and play, but if you're looking for, you know, a few days stay and a couple of different golf courses, there's lots of opportunities for places to stay, either homes or, you know, motel kinds of things. There's, you're never going to be at a loss for a place to stay.
Yeah, I totally agree. It's a huge variety. We have, you know, homes on the golf course. We call them villas, 2, 3, and 4 bedrooms, you know, that are walking distance to Longboard. So, you know, if you have an extra cocktail, you know, I'm not saying that, you know, that I do, but I might. And then you can walk back to your villa. You don't even have to drive. So it makes it really, really nice. And then just outside of us, you know, and I should back up and say there's about 80 villas. So there's a lot of villas to choose from. And then just outside of us, we have a wonderful little resort about 2 miles away that has cabin style rentals, hotel style rentals, outdoor swimming, outdoor bar. That's fantastic. And then again, not far from us, two other hotels too, that are very close, that are wonderful, and very quaint and very nice. So lodging is definitely available. You know, packaging is available. A lot of our lodging, neighbors are partners of ours. So we try to help out with doing, you know, tying our golf and dinner package into their lodging to produce a stay and play and dine type package. So lots of availabilities for, you know, 1, 2, 3, 4, and you know, some folks will come for a week or a month. The stay time doesn't matter.
You talk about the improvements that the Dahl family has made since they became the new owners. The last time I was up there, everything just looked a little crisper. Everything was just a little, you know, a little tighter, a little cleaner, a little, I don't know. It was just, you could notice some of the changes. But going back to longboards for a second, one of the things that I find most impressive is when you get out, certainly on the driving range, and you've got this vista of these mountains all around. Well, you got that same view from longboards because it's windows all the way around. So it's a wonderful meal, just with so much to look at, and you kind of get lost in the grandeur of everything that's around you.
Yeah, I would agree. I always say, you know, my second favorite view is from the golf shop, because that, the, you know, big windows, and you look right out over the front nine, the Feather River and the mountains. My first favorite view is right above us on the deck at Longboards with a, you know, a nice meal and a beverage, because it's you're a little higher, so you can see the river a little bit more, and you're outdoors. So yeah, views aplenty from anywhere in the building. The building is has the deck that goes all the way around, so no matter where you are, the view is great.
So you're pretty excited that you're opening early this year, and you're going to pass along some of this excitement. You've got a spring special going on that anybody that loves golf, especially mountain golf, is going to be really interested in.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, we open up again 19th of April, and this special runs through May 23rd, and it's 75 to walk, 90 to ride. So 75 walk and 90 with cart. And that's 7 days a week up through the 23rd of May. We get a lot of folks that like to take advantage of that. It's a great time. We do it in the fall as well, October 1 to close as well. So great time to come up, you know, in those shoulder seasons and get a little better price, and yet still enjoy the beautiful spring and the nice weather and fresh cut turf. It's a great special.
All right. Tell people how to get to Gray Eagle, and you know, where is it in relation to Sacramento and, you know, other Northern California areas?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Easy drive. It's, you know, if you're in the Sacramento area, you know, you're on 80 heading toward Truckee. And once you reach Truckee, you take 89 north from there. And we're about 43 miles north of Truckee. It's a beautiful drive from Truckee. You know, it winds through the Sierra Valley there and the mountains and trees as well before you get here. So, you know, from Sacramento, from the heart of the Sacramento area, you're 2.5 hours away. And again, it's a pretty easy drive because, you know, 80, you can roll right along. And once you hit 89, you know, you're just enjoying the scenery from there.
The scenery, you know, that you refer to, it's very bucolic. I mean, it's farms, it's small, I wouldn't even say towns, villages maybe, I guess. But the drive has a way of helping you slow down to get to the pace that, you know, the slower pace that you're going to find when you get to Gray Eagle. I think that that driving up there, you tend to, you know, get yourself into the mood just because of the drive.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Definitely. My kids make fun of me when I drive, you know, even though I'm from here, I'm driving along and I'm constantly, oh, look at, there's the deer. Look at the deer out in the field there. Oh, there's a, you know, longhorn bull out there. There's a bald eagle zipping by, you know. So I'm constantly looking around, you know, again, even though I'm here, because it's just a beautiful place. You know, we laughed, a friend of mine who's a fellow golf professional, when he moved here, he's at a neighboring club, and we were laughing, and I told him, I said, hey, when you come here, I like to call it the most peaceful place on earth, because there's places where you can go, and not far, where it can be just you. You know, if you just want to be you and nature, and it's silence at night, you know, I mean, you know, there is no, if I'll sit on my front deck, which is not far from the club here, and at night, and not hear sound, not a car, you know, nothing, because it's so quiet and peaceful and dark. You can see the stars, you know, I mean, the stars are clear. So, yeah, I mean, as you can tell, obviously, I love the area, but that's what you get when you come, you know, Frank, that's what you get when you make that turn on 89 at Truckee. You're right. You gotta just enjoy it. Slow down and relax and take it all in.
I still don't know why the Chamber of Commerce hasn't made you president. Scott, sounds like a lot of fun, huh?
It does. And the best part about that, because you're right, when you slow down, you relax and you get closer there, you know what that means? You're going to play better golf. And that's definitely going to put you in a better mood.
Well said.
Yeah. So true. How do people make these tee times, Brandon?
Yeah, definitely. Phone call, 530-836-1420. That's the golf shop number. Or website, which is plumaspinesgolf.com. And you can make tee times online, actually, through the entire season. So two easy ways to do that.
PlumasPines.com, the spring special going on right now until May 23rd, $75 to walk and $90 with a cart. Sounds pretty good to me. Scott, I think we have to figure out a way to get up there and relax a little and play some better golf, as you suggest.
We need to make this a trip. Make sure we get a villa. We head to Longboards at night. We make our short walk back, and we make a great, great trip out of it.
I noticed he picked up on the short walk back, so I can see what kind of party
that could be important, Frank. You never know.
Yeah, we'll make sure we get that the villa that is the closest to the clubhouse.
Brandon Bowling, PGA Director of Golf at Plumas Pines Golf Resort, and a great friend. Keep doing what you're doing, Brandon. Plumas Pines Golf Resort is a wonderful place to be, and I look forward to getting up there this year as well and saying hi. Continued success.
No, thank you so much. I love what you guys do, Frank and Scott, and appreciate being on. And I've got a tee time saved for you, so come on over.
This is the Golf to Go Radio Hour. We're back with more right after this.
It's the Golf to Go Hour with Frank LaRosa on Sactown Sports.
Welcome back in. This is the Golf to Go Radio Hour. You are listening to Frank LaRosa and Scott Marsh, and we welcome in a number of guests every week and talk about golf. What better thing is there to do than to talk about golf, I suppose, except to play golf, huh, Scott?
That would be even better, although I'd sure like talking about it, Frank, no doubt.
Len Dumas, Executive Director and COO of the Northern California PGA, is with us. And Len, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you once again, Frank. Thank you, Scott. Great to be with you guys.
Len and I had a chance actually to play yesterday, Scott, and you had some other things going on and weren't able to join us, but it's been
a little thing since. Called the Kings beating the Warriors, which was pretty nice also.
Yeah. But we were just talking about how much fun it was to finally get out again. I mean, the weather was beautiful as it can be here in Northern California. And, we traded some lies and gave some putts and just, overall had a great time with Andy McDowell from the Fortinet Championship. And it was a good day at that Green Valley Country Club, thanks to Mark Sherman, the head professional there.
So, Scott, just to be clear, we didn't play yesterday because you had other things to do. There's no correlation. It was just, it was coincidence. Okay.
Yeah. No question. Just one of those random coincidences.
Yeah. Just incredible.
We're just days away from what truly was a very, very exciting Masters. I mean, as you watched the leaderboard change with Bryson having what looked like a career year, and then on Saturday and Sunday the leaderboard with all the ties, it really was very, very exciting to watch. And I say that as one who loved Tiger on the leaderboard for so many years, and golf to me has been tougher to get excited about without Tiger up there. But boy, with all of the ties and all of the different stories that were going on, and Colin Morikawa and Scottie Scheffler and Åberg, 24 years old, and what a career he has ahead of him. Len, what was your reaction to what went on, and is there any relation to Northern California we can talk about?
I think so, Frank. And, that relationship is the love of the game and some of the great players we've had historically and some of the great players we have now. But I don't think there could be anything more exciting. These last few, particularly the majors, they play out like movie scripts. And it's just unbelievable. Those of us that follow the game, the tournament starts on the back nine on Sunday, and it couldn't be more true. But you made a very important point, Frank, that come the end of the round on Saturday, the leaderboard was just jumping up and down like crazy. There were five tied, then there were four tied, then there were six tied, then there were two tied. And we talk about who's going to be in the final group on Sunday. Well, almost couldn't determine that until the last putt. People were making birdies. People were making bogeys. There were some double bogeys there. I think it's a testimony to how much a little gamble on some shots, because how much they want to win, how important the Masters is, and of course, how difficult the golf course is. And when Tiger's there, you know, as we have spoken about, I think he realizes his responsibility to the game and to the fans, that as hurt as he is sometimes, he's still out there. He's still out there playing as hard as he can. And so it's just a win-win-win all around. And then it carried over until Sunday. Incredible, incredible shot making, incredible poise. A couple people went for it a little bit, took a little bit of a gamble, didn't work. But again, that's the wanting to win combined with the difficulty of the golf course. What a championship.
There was an interview, just a short one, with Colin Morikawa after while they were waiting to go to the Butler Cabin shot. But he was asked what happened out there. And I loved his answer. I mean, it was so honest and so direct, and with a smile on his face that he normally has. He said, I took a risk. You know, I gambled, and I shouldn't have, and I know better than that. And then I did it again, you know, and I had the same issue. He said, but I'll learn from that. And I just thought, in that very short answer, you know, here's just kind of a picture as to who this young man is and who he will be. And what I found that I thought was really interesting, and maybe it's more a function of my age, but Scottie Scheffler, 27, Åberg is 24. Colin Morikawa has got to be right in there somewhere. And the poise and the ability to emote that all of them have, and to still maintain a professional look and play that game, it's just remarkable who those people are.
And the beauty of it, Frank, is that from a fan's point of view and a patron's point of view at Augusta, everybody's rooting for everybody. So when somebody hits a great shot, everybody cheers for that player. When somebody like Ludvig Åberg or Colin Morikawa hits it a little too far left and it hits that slope on 11 and goes in the water, all our hearts break at the same time, right? But you're right about the poise. They're incredible. Looking at, you know, at Ludvig Åberg, even after he hit that shot on 11 that got wet, he was smiling. And just, I think it's a case of realizing where he is, what he's doing, and who he's doing it with, and coming to the conclusion, you know, this is really something. This is very, very special. And as biased as we are, we always love to say, only in golf can we share the experience with the players the way we do.
Scott, I think we can learn something from that point of view in terms of hitting a bad shot and not taking it home with us, huh?
Well, I think if I had the game of Scottie Scheffler, I wouldn't be worried if I hit one or two bad shots or putts. So I'm not sure if I can learn that or not. But yes, to the overall point, you just got to stay in the moment. It's pretty amazing to watch them at that level be able to do that, because that really does apply at any level of golf for sure.
Mm-hmm. And if we look at that little bit of a comparison, right, Scott, with Brian Harman at the Open Championship last year, with Scottie Scheffler at the Masters this year. Remember, the weather on the last day of the Open Championship last year was just miserable. Everybody's having some difficulties, and Brian Harman's making birdies.
Yeah.
And here we are coming into the final holes of Augusta. Everybody's taking a chance because they're running out of real estate, and here comes Scottie making birdies again. So just that shot making, that poise is just wow. It's great to watch.
You know, in the introduction, Len, I introduced you as the executive director and COO of the Northern California PGA. Can you just briefly, and we've done this before, but it gets a little confusing for some. What's the difference between those tour professionals that we see on television and the PGA of America?
So there are a couple things, Frank. We say that the tour players are professional golfers, and we are golf professionals. So that distinguishes us. For the most part, we are the instructors of the game. We are the keepers of the flame, if you will. And our job here in the, as I like to call it, the international headquarters of the Northern California PGA, you know, we serve as the administrative arm for our members and associates, who are the golf professionals you see when you go out to your local facility and play. make sure they have opportunities to play, make sure they have opportunities for education to keep their continuing education going, rerun the junior programs. And also our philanthropic side, our foundation is, of course, spearheaded by PGA Hope, helping our Patriots everywhere. And another saying that's come up in the past year about the PGA of America, again, the distinction, the players are playing for millions. Players are playing for millions, and we are helping millions play. So I think that's that. A pretty good analogy.
I love that a lot. Yeah, I'll have to remember that one. I'm sure I'll mess it up, but I'll have to remember it. You know, as we the Masters certainly is the unofficial kickoff to the golf year every year, no matter where you live, even though we play year round here. But as the summer, spring and summer, you know, is upon us here, the PGA has a junior program, which you're pretty proud of as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, just tremendous, Frank. Drive, chip and putt in the finals were, of course, last Sunday at Augusta National. And we did have some local kids there who did just great. And then that's the prize, you know, at the end of the rainbow and the openness of Augusta National. We're grateful for that. The Augusta National Women's Amateur, as you know, finishes on Saturday. And Astrid Talley, who's here in Fresno area, finished third, I believe. Just tremendous showing. And then our juniors that are in the drive, chip and putt. And as they're going through the season, I mean, ultimately the prize is to get to Augusta. So terrific, absolutely terrific. And as we mentioned last year, I believe that Terry Sullivan and his teams at Santa Teresa in San Jose, Terry made it to both championships in junior league with his 13 and under team and a 17 and under team. So golf is thriving at the professional and junior level here in Northern California.
You know, it seems like junior league just started. I mean, I know it's been longer than that, but it seems so fresh and new, and the growth in that program has been remarkable, even very much so here in Northern California, but throughout the country as well.
We're pushing now from probably between 60 and 70,000 kids that are involved in junior league. And they cross boundaries, as you know. Those are also the players that are in drive, chip, and putt. Those are also the players that are in the local tours. And for us, that's the JTNC, which is the Junior Tour of Northern California. So just the talent level grows, and we're filling the pipeline well at the junior level. So very, very, very exciting.
Scott, every time we talk to Len and especially talk about the junior programs, it makes us think, boy, we'd have had a few more years of pretty good golf.
No question. It's so exciting. It's so exciting, especially to be at that age and have so much in front of you. Len, as you shape out 2024, as Frank, you know, said, we're kind of in the full swing of the golf year, the core golf season. What are you seeing for this year as it unfolds?
So we're fortunate, Scott, the activity levels and our registration levels for our event are still sky high. Our facilities are cranking. They're going all day, every day. We look forward to the summer, but a couple of things. I'm going to back up a week. Last year we had our match play championship, and that's six rounds of golf. We started with a 64, work our way down to two. So six rounds of golf over 3 days. And we congratulate Pat Steffes, the head golf professional, Lake Merced Golf Club, for his victory this year as our 2024 Northern California PGA Match Play Champion. And the very exciting part of that is that earns Pat a spot in the Barracuda this summer, which is way cool. It's great to have, a local in our tour event.
Yeah.
Next week, on April 29th to May 1st is the PGA Professional Championship. And that will be at new headquarters in Frisco. And that's the come together of 312 professionals around the country to play four rounds to get to the final 20 who are going to go to the 10 days later, who are going to head to Louisville to play Valhalla in the PGA Championship. So it's a close follow. We have six of our members. I mentioned Pat Steffes. Pat is qualified. Brad Merrick. Brad's been there before. Mike Nicoletti, Ryan Williams, Tom Johnson, and Brian Keck. So we are well represented in the PGA Professional Championship, and we have six opportunities for our players to get to the PGA Championship in Kentucky at Valhalla. Can't beat that. And that's only That's only about a month away.
Wow.
Len, the game is, as we've said before, is wildly popular today. I see a little bit of a shift in terms of the way people approach the game now, and I think, I think that there was more, the competition was more important earlier. Especially at private clubs, I want to be on the top of the leaderboard, so on and so forth. What I see now is the people that are coming in now see it truly as a game. They see it for the recreational value, and I think that's probably a really positive point of view.
No question, Frank. And let's say that for the most part, Topgolf is the best example of that, right? That the people went out to have a fun evening, have some food and beverage, and it happened to be golf was the way to accomplish that indoor and so on and so forth. So they may or may not transition. Some do, but we have PGA professionals at the Topgolf facilities now giving lessons and on and on. So there's no greater testimony than that to the not only the increase in the game, primarily happened at COVID when we were legitimately the only game in town, but they're staying with it and moving on, and those numbers haven't dropped. So we're really grateful for that. And when we have a Masters as we had, and if we have a winning Ryder Cup team, then it just adds to that fury. That's awesome.
I think I saw a survey not too long ago that young people thought golf was, they described it as cool. I thought that was great.
That is a serious shift because at least it wasn't Dad's Buick any longer. So we've moved on a little bit anyway.
The golf courses are doing great. The game is doing great. The Northern California PGA is doing great. I think, we've done our jobs. Let's all go out and play golf.
Well, something like that. So Scott, let us know when you're busy again.
So you can schedule another round. I get it. I hear you. Understood.
And not too far in advance. I mean, if you're busy someday next week, that's good.
I hear you. 72 hours warning.
And he's got a sense of humor too. Len Dumas, the executive director and COO of the Northern California PGA. It's always fun to have you on the show. Len, it's always good for a laugh, and there's a handshake at the end. So be well, and we'll look forward to seeing you down the road.
Thank you, Frank. Thank you, Scott. Once again, see you soon.
Great to talk to you.
This is the Golf to Go Radio Hour. We'll be back with more right after this.
It's the Golf to Go Hour with Frank LaRosa on Sactown Sports.
God, we've done it again. We've wrapped up another hour, and it seems to go by so quickly. I loved our guest, Brandon Bowling, PGA Director of Golf at Plumas Pines Golf Resort in Gray Eagle, and Len Dumas, the Executive Director, I should say Len Dumas, PGA Executive Director and COO of the Northern California PGA. My thanks to both of them for their contributions to today's show.
Gotta love it. We got to get up and play at Plumas Pines and take a trip up there. We got to get on to the Masters on that Monday after the tournament. And I won't get in the way of you and Len playing next time as well, I promise.
I love the fact that you have a sense of humor, and special thanks really go out to you, Scott Marsh, for all you do for this show and the post-production and everything to get it on the air. I couldn't do it anywhere near without you, so I very much appreciate your contributions to the show, and we'll just do it again next week.
The pleasure is all mine, and it's great working with a Hall of Famer like you, a four-time media person of the year, Frank, and three hole-in-ones on top of it.
That's the Golf to Go Radio Hour for this week. We'll be back with more next week.